what that meant.
Okay, I'm going to call to order this February 21st, 2018 meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. So, colleagues, we have just one item before us that has come over from the House. It's House Bill 4031A, and we are going to be discussing the base bill today, and we also have an amendment, the Dash 16s, that I'd like us to discuss as well. There may be some other amendments out there. I have not seen them. I am planning to work this bill on Friday, and if we do get other amendments, I'll be happy to post them and subject them to the light of day. With that, I am going to open our public hearing on House Bill 4031A. And it comes to us from Representative Clem, and so he will come up and speak to it. Beth, could you tell us what this bill does?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4031A has three provisions in it, different provisions related to land use. One would reauthorize the guest ranch statutes that sunset on January 2nd of this year. The second would allow a small-scale recreation community that's established in conjunction with a transfer of development opportunity to be sited on certain lands that are described in the bill. And the third modifies requirements for the selection of an economic development program pilot site by LCDC. The bill has no fiscal impact, minimal revenue, and no subsequent referral.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from District 21. I chair the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee. This is one of our committee bills. It has a wide relating clause because I wanted a catch-all for various topics. As you can see, we've created a little Frankenstein here. There are three components, as Beth mentioned. Numerically, I can just go through them. The first one is guest ranches. We didn't make a policy choice, I would say, as a legislature to let this guest ranch statute sunset. It's just literally, I don't think anybody thought about the fact it was sunsetting. And then it dawned on me in December it was going to sunset soon. And then we had an applicant, a current authorized guest ranch go to work under their approval to add a few more rooms, and they realized that the underlying statute was about to sunset. So they can't expand their current ranch out near Sisters if we don't have an underlying statute to apply against. They'd just be a non-conforming use. They couldn't get a bank to lend. If it burned down, they couldn't rebuild. So I just thought, wow, that's not ideal. So we had an amendment drafted that would reauthorize the guest ranch statutes for two more years. And in the meantime, maybe even jointly, we could review the whole thing to see what makes sense vis-a-vis guest ranches. We didn't have any opposition to that. The folks from Sisters, that'll help them at least finish their expansion that they're already approved for. They just want a statute to apply against for their expansion. So that's guest ranch sunset renewal. And it ended like a month ago, really inadvertently, I would say. Second, the TDOs. We found as the site in Clatsop County got further review that was added by the last legislative assembly, LCDC brought up two issues that they asked to be fixed. One has to do with the words either or. The site in question is both lands planned and zoned for forest use, and it also has exception lands in it. The statute read that it's the site must be planned and zoned for forest use or exception lands. And so they said, yeah, you can only use part of the site, or you go back and fix it. I really didn't want to do another bill on this topic, but it would wipe out half the site. So now the words or both of the following are added in. So this particular site that has both exception lands and forest use could be used. There was some consternation over the way subsection 7 was written. We changed that from the base bill. It read before like the site would not, or someone applying to use the TDOs would not have to, essentially that a county could give its own exception to the land use goals. That wasn't the intention for the way it was meant to read, because the TDOs don't require exceptions anyway. They're already statutory, so they don't go through the exceptions process anyway, for one. And two, the only intent of the language, which now it says it in there very clearly, this has to do with a thing called federal consistency review, where if you're in an area where there's federal agencies doing permitting, which this is unfortunately for us, like 200 yards within the coastal zone somehow, or 300 yards within the coastal zone. So in the coastal zone, when NMFS or the Army Corps or somebody is doing work, they'll do a permitting kind of application. And one of the things they do is check with LCDC to see if the project's in compliance with state law, because they don't want to waste their time going through permitting if it's already out of compliance. So this makes it clear that it is in compliance with state law, since it is a state law, and then LCDC won't have to go through a process that would take a lot of time, and the only person eligible to appeal their process would be the developer, who doesn't want to. And it has to do with, it's called, they've never done this before, it would be called a state-sponsored reasons exception. The state would be the applicant, so DLCD would apply to their own commission, who would grant it, and the only person who could appeal wants it, doesn't want to. So they'd go through a whole bunch of process for no reason, or we could put this item in this bill and avoid all that expense for the agency. So that's TDOs. Last but not least is the Madras Airport fix. We helped Madras and the airport figure out their UGB issue, but we put the wrong unemployment number in. We put in the word 8, and it should be 7, because Madras isn't eligible because their unemployment was between 7 and 8. So this will help the Madras Airport actually do their UGB expansion to include the airport, so they can do the things they want to do for jobs and whatnot there. So those are the three components. Then you want me to hit the dash 16s?
Sure.
Dash 16s, I had them drafted just so they'd be ready for you, but essentially they're a copy of another bill that you'll hear from later. Home builders in particular and Thousand Friends negotiated an agreement on ADUs last session. The agreement was codified in a bill. After session, the home builders will testify, I assume, what they did to us, which is, oops, these are allowed to be built outside the UGB. That wasn't the deal. Somebody didn't, in the last draft to LC, get it right. We have some people who still want that policy. I'm actually okay working on that policy in rural residential with sideboards. I'm okay with it personally, but it was a Scrivener's error. And so I ask the people who want the policy, please don't try to take advantage of an error, because it could happen to you once someday too, and you may want some grace. So just fix the error, then let's come back, have a work group, and debate whether ADUs should be in rural residential and under what conditions. So that's the 16s. It fixes the error to say ADUs can go inside the UGB, but we will have to do something else if we want to allow them outside the UGB. And it was definitely the result. It is embodying the deal. And anybody who has anything different is on their own arguing to not fix the problem because they don't like the policy. I just don't think that's a good position to take, because I, again, could be the victim of a Scrivener's error, and I want some mercy when the time comes.
Great. Thanks, Representative. Amazingly, I understood everything you said. Representative Taylor.
Thank you. Senator Nembro. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland. Nice to see you. I just had a wondering, who is there any opposition? I'm sorry to cut to the chase,
yeah.
But you're a pro. Is there any opposition to anything that, since you have all these different components, is there anybody, if I were to run out in the hall and say who likes and doesn't like what Representative Clem is doing in here, what would people say?
Guest ranches, no. The Madras Airport, no. There were some folks who, no organized groups like that are in the building, but there were some folks who wrote about subsection 7 saying, boy, it looks like a wide open empowerment of the county to just self-acknowledge things without going to LCDC. We tightened it up. After that, nobody came back and wrote me a new letter saying that's still not good enough. It passed 60-0. Representative Holloway, I think, was the only person. He changed his vote to yes later in the day. So
okay.
I believe you will not find people grumbling in the halls. There was some folks who wrote about subsection 7. We clarified it, and then I never heard if that was good enough or not.
Thank you, yes. Senator. So the amendments that were adopted, were any of those other amendments? I just was looking at OLSA. Were any of those adopted, the other amendments in the menu?
No. There were like 5 or 6 others. We didn't do any of them.
Those never.
Yeah, the only ones that we adopted were the subsection 7 clarifications because of the grumbling. The other ones we disregarded because they were somewhat controversial.
Thank you.
I would put on the record that I have been grumbling about the relating clause of this bill, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, well, other people have already come.
I just want to give you an opportunity for a lively Senate second half.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative.
Wide open relating clause.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair.
Before you leave, I want to get you on record, and I just ask you this over there.
Yeah.
Does this include the Red Barn land?
The Red Barn is not in here. We also didn't consider that amendment in the House. If you consider it, that'll be a Senate item that's not in this bill currently, and it's not an amendment that was shown to the House.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Representative. Okay, we have Doug Riggs. Dave Honeycutt. And on the phone, we have a couple of gentlemen from the city of Madras. And are they on the phone now?
They are.
Yeah, okay. Nick Sneed and Gus Burrell. Nick and Gus, are you both on the phone?
We are here. Thank you.
Okay, great. Welcome. Okay, Doug.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate the time. I think Representative Clem did an excellent job. For the record, I'm Doug Riggs on behalf of the Central Oregon Cities Organization. We were the group that got House Bill 2743 passed last year, and we're back here mainly because of two things. Number one, as Representative Clem mentioned, our unemployment number has dropped to 7.9% average for the last 3 years. That's good news. That's not bad news, and we're happy to see it, and we think that what we're doing in Madras and Central Oregon is contributing to that. The second is a Scrivener's error, and that was that the bill as drafted by Legislative Council did refer to the UGB statute. Unfortunately, refer to the UGB statute that applies to Metro and not the UGB statute that applies to everybody else in the state, and no one caught that. So we found that out in December, which is why we're piggybacking on a different bill and not introducing our own bill. But as Representative Clem mentioned, this is really a technical change. The bill was widely supported last session, and we did not have any opposition to the bill. We haven't had any opposition to the technical changes either, so we hope that the committee will consider it and that this will get passed and sent back to the House and approved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doug. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action, in support of this bill. I have the both the Metolius and the Guest Ranch portions of this bill, not the Madras piece of the Frankenstein. The Metolius piece, we were here last session with House Bill 2031 that dealt with the Metolius piece. As Representative Clem has indicated, as we get closer, it's like an onion. As we move closer to actually developing the putting the TDOs at the Clatsop County Resort or at the Clatsop County site, we find problems that we hadn't anticipated and have to keep coming back. I'm hoping this is the last time that we'll need to come back on this issue, but I think these changes solve the rest of the problem. On the Guest Ranch piece, I got a call in December from the Bloomfelds, who have the Long Hollow Ranch in Sisters. As Representative Clem indicated, they wanted to expand their Guest Ranch. It's a good Guest Ranch. We used to call them a dude ranch, but it's changed to a Guest Ranch. They wanted to expand their Guest Ranch to do intergenerational stuff so that they have grandpa, grandma, kids, and grandkids, and they just don't have enough space to do that. That's the trend in they have a dude ranch association, and apparently that's the trend in dude ranches. And so they wanted to do that and found out when they went to the county that the bill sunsetted in January of 2018, and so they were unable to do so. So the language that you see in the bill is the exact Guest Ranch language that's been codified in that's been in the statutes for, I think the first time we did this was 1997. And so we just took the exact same language, and because it had sunsetted, we had to take the exact same language and give it a new sunset date of April 15th, 2020. I'm hoping that we can come back next session and remove that sunset. There have been, I looked at DLCD's farm and forest reports just to give you an idea of how many Guest Ranches are that we have in this state. In 2014, there was one Guest Ranch approved, and in 2015, there was one. That's the latest DLCD farm forest report. So it's not a very common use, but it is a good use, and so we're hoping that with this, we can at least extend it to 2020 and then maybe come back next session and just repeal the sunset entirely.
Great. Misters Sneed and Burrell, do you have comments you'd like to offer?
We've just asked for the committee's support. We had good support, no objections in the 2017 session. We're in agreement with DLCD on the proposed amendments and thank the House for moving this forward and Chair Clem and just all the support. So we say thank you and be happy to answer any additional questions. Be happy to let you know that Daimler Trucks North America is currently going through the NEPA process on additional ground on our airport that consistent with FAA's use of the property to support our airport. And so good things happening, and we were thankful to be able to give Senator Benz a tour a couple weeks ago so we understood on the ground things that are happening there, construction that's taking place. And be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, before you do that, could you give us your name for the record, please?
Yes, this is Gus Burrell, last name B-U-R-R-I-L, with the City of Madras.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Burrell. Okay, colleagues, any questions for any of these gentlemen? Just want to kind of put on the record that this bill does have an emergency clause, and that's because, you know, as I hear it, these are fixes that need to be made right away. And so this does seem to be an appropriate use of that device.
Or last December.
Hmm?
Really sooner, last December.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it also reminds us why it's a great thing to have annual sessions, so you can fix these things more quickly.
Not a question of them, but Senator Benz went to the Madras Airport and...
I did.
Was the new construction looking like it's something valuable to the community?
Well, that would be the understatement for this issue. It would be hugely helpful, and creates a synergy with what Daimler is doing there, what else is going on there. It's really, really impressive. It's a really, really good thing for that part of the state. So this is a great big deal for Madras. So I'm very happy to be able to support the bill.
Great. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mrs. Burrell and Sneed, thank you very much for giving us your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, so that takes care of the testimony on the base bill. And now we have three individuals who want to speak to the Dash 16, John Chandler, Meredith Shield, and Peggy Lynch, please.
Separate us?
That was quick. I thought. We'll see.
Mr. Chandler, one last time.
John, I just can't wait. So why don't you start off? Oh, it's me. Wow.
I noticed you didn't start doing that until I got to the microphone. Trying hard not to take that personally. John Chandler here on behalf of the Oregon Home Builders Association and support of the Dash 16 amendments to House Bill 4031. As Representative Clem indicates, this is was a whoops. And Mr. Chair, since you brought up, this is an example of why we ought to have annual sessions. There are other examples of this process that would be the contrary to that point, but this one, to fix typos, which this was, is appropriate. The last session in House Bill 1531, some of you will remember that bill, when we were lobbying it as our little coalition, we told all of you, I know I told people when I met with them, that this applies to accessory dwelling units inside urban growth boundaries. There was other discussions about ADUs outside of urban growth boundaries, and it wasn't until after the bill had passed, both chambers signed by the governor and gone into law, that I got a call from a county planner who thanked me for solving the problem the counties had with ADUs and rural residential. I said, no, we didn't. Those bills all died. Oh, no, he says, you did. And he calls up, he asked me to look at the bill, and I did. And sure enough, the magic words inside the urban growth boundary had somehow magically disappeared from the text of 1531 in between the Dash 5 and Dash 7 amendments. Pure scrivener's error, nobody's at fault. It just happened. It was, none of us caught it, which is embarrassing, but what are you going to do? And so here we are. putting the words back. We reached an arrangement with the Speaker and with Thousand Friends, all of us working together on that bill and all its various moving parts, that the ADU fix was only to be inside urban growth boundaries. We, like others, share the feeling that that discussion about outside the urban growth boundary is one we ought to have. But it was not part of the discussions last session. This bill corrects that error, and we commend it to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Denbrough, members of the committee. For the record, Meredith Shield, representing 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Mary Kyle McCurdy wanted to be here, but she is serving on jury duty, so I am stepping in on her place. And again, as Mr. Chandler said, Senate Bill 1051, which we worked on last session, we worked with cities, counties, home builders, locusts to work on this bill, and at no time was there an intent to allow this ADU provision outside of UGBs, and we want to make sure that it's corrected, knowing that between now and the next legislative session, there will be a work group that will be convened to examine perimeters under which ADUs could be permitted in rural residential areas, which we expect to happen, and that's the appropriate venue for that conversation. This A16 amendment, and thanks to Rep. Clem for bringing it to us, is a simple technical fix that reinserts the intended restriction that ADUs be allowed on land zoned for single-family attached dwellings within a UGB. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peggy Lynch, Legal Women Voters of Oregon. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, what they said. except that I do want to add one more thing. The League worked very hard last session, during session, to try to create a bill that would address the issue of when ADUs would be allowed in rural residential lands. We worked on House Bill 3012, which did pass, which narrowly allowed some ADUs in rural residential related to historical homes. And if you would look at that bill, you will notice that there are sideboards in that bill around what could and couldn't happen. That's what we were trying to work on with a broader bill to allow ADUs in certain parts of rural residential lands. We know that there are groundwater restricted areas in the state. We know that there are groundwater management areas in the state. We know there are issues around wildfires in the state. There are farm to market roads in the state. And those conversations need to happen at the county level. The Scribner's error actually not only requires counties to allow these ADUs, but it only allows them to put sideboards on siting and design, and not on the very real issues of water and wells and septics and the other kinds of issues that happen in rural areas. So got my files ready. I'm ready to go to work. Thought we were going to do it during last interim to get this finished and so that we would have a reasonable bill that would allow for that additional opportunity for housing. I just want to make one more comment. And that's, if everybody remembers Measure 49, there are still, according to my records as of the middle of 2017, over 5,000 dwelling opportunities in rural lands in Oregon. And so it's not as if we don't have opportunities for more rural residential lands and more rural housing in Oregon. And it's certainly not our intent not to have more rural lands, dwellings in Oregon. We just need to make sure that we do it the right way. Thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Peggy. And it is true that in a moment of weakness last year, I did promise to convene a work group, and that is still my intent, to have us look at the issue of rural ADUs, because I think there is a place for them, and we need to figure out how to do it right.
It can be a really short work group, frankly. I have the list from last session. We were really close to the end, so
okay.
I encourage it.
Okay, I'm encouraged.
If it's that short, you have a current relating to land bill that you could use.
Peggy, can you get us something by Friday? Thank you.
Good job, Senator.
Colleagues, any questions for the panel?
Question.
Yes, Senator Brzozinski.
So we've heard the talk about the Scrivener's error. I know this has happened on the bill that we had dealing with cannabis. Do we know if anyone's actually taken advantage of the Scrivener's error?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brzozinski, that's a very good question. The base bill that was scribbled incorrectly does not take effect until July of this year.
So July of this year?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So then does the fix take care of the Scrivener's error before someone can take
it? It does indeed, with an emergency clause and off to the races we go or don't go, as it turns out.
All right, that takes care of my concerns. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other questions, thank you. Yeah. Thank you all very much. Okay, colleagues, again, we're meeting Friday to do a work session on this bill. We have another bill that we first heard a year ago as a tag-along to another related to the use of land bill. This was the one that had to do with remands on from Luba, right?
Oh, right.
And that didn't end up, we didn't incorporate that bill. It wasn't quite ready. That has passed on the House side. It came back. It's passed, and we'll be hearing it on Friday. So,
and then we have one more committee meeting after that.
And we have another committee meeting after that. We think we may be getting another bill.
Okay.
The House. And then we are planning to have an informational hearing on the bottle bill, the status of the beverage recycling redemption center program. So I think that's going to be Monday, Wednesday, probably Wednesday, just to keep Monday for bills. So. Okay, so colleagues, with that, we are adjourned for the day.
God, thank you.
So that super.